the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word Incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Johnny Hebert. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, young lady.
Good morning, and fall is upon us on this day, isn't it? It's official, I guess.
Yeah.
Yes. You guys can't make fun of me anymore. I can now get pumpkins at the store, and you guys can't be like, it's not really fall, so
that's
I'm
right.
Excited.
And believe it or not, I did see them on sale.
They're,
pumpkins are showing up, yeah.
Wow. Great. Wonderful.
Yeah. Time. As long as we get hurricane season behind us,
amen.
I'm good with that.
Right. I'm with you, John.
Oh, man. So let's get our day started in prayer. We're remembering today St. Lorenzo Ruiz and his companions, martyrs. As we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, who founded all the commands of your sacred law upon love of you and of our neighbor, grant that by keeping your precepts we may merit to attain eternal life. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever, amen. And that collect today pretty much goes right to the point while we're here. Let's just looking past this life on to the next. So,
yes, definitely. And Johnny, looking forward to your insights on today's gospel. That'll be in just a few more minutes. But we're joined by Judge Bernadette D'Souza, and she's going to talk about the 69th annual Red Mass at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. That is coming up, and they have a very special guest homilist, Bishop Robert Barron, Bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. So very excited to talk about the Red Mass coming up in New Orleans. Steve Ray joins us. And you know, Steve, you ask him one question and he just takes off. He's going to actually
answer
right. the question.
That's right. His flights are never delayed.
That's good.
Well, you know, he's a Catholic convert. He leads many pilgrimages, so he's going to talk about or answer the question, are you born again or can you be born again? Remember, have we ever, you know, heard of that question mm-hmm. before? So he's going to answer that one in just a few minutes. And we're also joined by Father Dwight Longenecker. He's talking about his book called Beheading Hydra, A Radical Plan for Christians in an Atheistic Age. So that'll be very insightful. Looking forward to hearing what Father Dwight has to say about that. Damian, real quick before we get to weather, I'm excited because our drive time is coming up, our fall drive time, Tuesday, October 5th through Thursday, October 7th. We'll have guests every hour to raise money for our studios because we rely on listener donations. So that'll be fun to tune into. Of course, as it gets closer, I'll tell you who will be on every hour. But it's a fun time, Damian. Always look forward to it.
Always a fun time, great guest, and a major fundraiser for us. So, be tuning in and contribute if you can. In the meantime, that cool front that I shared with y'all yesterday that was going to get here, still in the process of arriving, but it is on its way. 10 to 20 mile an hour winds outside right now. So that is helping the temperatures a little bit. Expect drier conditions, though, today with the highs in the upper 70s, low in the mid 50s overnight. And we're going to have sunny skies all the way through Sunday. So time to finally get outside, dry out a little bit, take advantage of the outdoor activities that you wanted to take care of. Temperatures around the area, the warm spot, New Orleans right now, 75. Cool spot, Baton Rouge, 69. Elsewhere, North Shore, 73, as well as Bay St. Louis, 73. And in Houma Thibodeau, it's 74. There's your weather.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so
much.
Can
feel it in the bones.
Yes, you can. It is 7:05 on Wake Up.
Today's Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 9. Jesus summoned the 12 and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said to them, "Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick nor sack nor food nor money, and let no one take a second tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there. And as for those who do not welcome you, when you leave that town, shake the dust from your feet in testimony against them." And they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and curing diseases everywhere. We've heard the gospel, and now we reflect.
Jesus selects 12 men who will universalize the vocation of Israel, which must expand to incorporate the whole world, becoming the new Israel. A person can only give what he has. And thus, in creation, God makes humans in his image and likeness. As the 12 are about to set out on their first mission, Jesus gives them a share of his own divine authority. This is an amazing example of how God calls his disciples out of the nothingness of sin and is eager to impart to them qualities of his own divine being. There is no limit to the authority he now gives to the 12 over diseases and demons. Jesus is restoring the work of creation that was wounded by sin. And so 12 broken men have been chosen to heal other broken men by the power of God's love and mercy. The powerlessness of devils is humiliating, because now weak men can kick them out. It's deliciously ironic to reflect on the degradation of these proud spirits who aspired to be like God. The very vulnerable humans they hate can now defeat them. The 12 were commissioned to proclaim the kingdom of God, that it has come with the advent of the divine bridegroom Messiah. The arrival of the kingdom is inseparable from the founding of Christ's church, which is his bride and mystical body. The apostles are the visible nucleus of his church. They are sent to the needy, not to those deemed most deserving or most receptive. Their call and Jesus' power are gifts. Therefore, they must always freely give. Jesus not only imparts gifts, but he also instructs them on the manner of giving, because both reflect his nature. Finally, the disciples are to go without the necessities a person might prudently take on an ordinary trip. They are to become God's poor pilgrims. They are not called to be businessmen looking to make a deal, nor are they CEOs running a corporation. Their strength and any future success rests solely on God's strength. Like the conquest of Jericho, the battle of spiritual warfare is the Lord's, so also must be the means. I know a priest who transformed his parish. His winning strategy was simple: prayer, fasting, and hours in the confessional. With prayer and fasting, we can transform our families and the whole world. Have a wonderful day. This is Jimmy Sagers.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, and thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Oh, guys, power, right? Power. It, Jimmy was talking about, it drives everything, doesn't it? You know, to have control, to make the rules, to decide what's right and wrong, you know, basically to be God. Isn't this the old sin of Eden? It still kind of haunts us today. You know, so, but Jesus, you know, tells us that true power, as Jimmy was saying, is given, not taken, not owed. It serves, it does not enslave. It gains souls for the kingdom of God, it doesn't build our own kingdom. And here's the thing, too. True power speaks what is always and everywhere true. Not opinion, not feelings. It doesn't invent truths or distort it for its own gain. And so I was thinking about this, you know, what it practically means for us today, you know, and just like then, even today, the Lord's asking us to change the culture from within, not to be changed by the culture. So Jesus talks about shaking the dust off your feet. In a real sense, he's wanting to make sure that the sins of pride and power in the culture today give life, not death. Don't change us. Don't change the fruits of the Holy Spirit into garbage. Mm-hmm. And you'll change the truth of the gospel. And personally, I've got an example of this. You know, my company, for example, is pushing this radical equality, diversity, and inclusion set of programs that's strongly advocating certain lifestyles that are just in direct opposition to the truth about human sexuality, the beauty and the truth of it. So powerful is this effort that many in the company who have very strong and valid reasons for objecting to it are afraid to speak out of fear for their jobs. In other words, this is a type of dust or even mud that you have to put onto your feet in order to stay employed.
Yeah.
And saying nothing about it in a real sense means the culture's transforming us. And this is what Pope Emeritus Benedict XVI was just talking about, saying that this issue, complacency, has really infiltrated the church, saying, quote, "We are witnessing a distortion of conscience which has evidently penetrated deeply into sectors of the Catholic people." So for me, you know, I've been trying to do what Jesus says here, to present the truth in love, to provide real and better alternatives, and to point out that silencing people of faith is the opposite of diversity,
Johnny,
and inclusion.
And,
yeah, go ahead.
And I can say that in the other sense, you know, I know someone who has chased money and power for so long, building, moving up in the ranks in their company, to the point where one day they just lost it all. And now they understand, you know, I did not put my faith in God. I chased power. I chased money. I had it all, and they lost it all. And it's now they are struggling to the core to even get a paycheck or get to even to be even close to where they were before, because they were focused on the money, the power, the glitz, and the glam. It could be gone at any second. And then you realize your trust and faith in God was never there, or was not there, or was just kind of dormant at the moment. So I think that all of that is just a fad. It's just masked. It's not truth, you know, when it comes to all of the glitz. Not saying that money is evil, but or power is evil, but the obsession of it can be dangerous in a sense. So thank you so much, Johnny, for that. We have your saint of the day coming up right after the break, and then we're moving on to our next guest, Judge Bernadette D'Souza with the Red Mass. It is 7:15 on Wake Up.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for September 22nd. Today we celebrate Saint Lawrence Ruiz and Companions. An accusation of murder against today's saint changed the course of his life and indirectly led to his martyrdom. Lawrence Ruiz was born in Manila in 1600. Educated by the Dominican friars, he was an altar server as a boy and joined the Confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary as an adult. A professional calligrapher, for several years Lawrence and his wife Rosario lived a quiet, peaceful life with their three children. Whether or not local authorities had good reason to connect him with a homicide is unclear, but the threat of arrest led Lawrence to steal away to Japan in 1636 with several Dominican missionary priests. All were arrested shortly after arriving in Japan and transported to Nagasaki, where many Catholics were being persecuted. Along with the Dominicans and other prisoners, Lawrence was subjected to unspeakable tortures. In September 1637, they were hanged upside down and tightly bound to slow circulation and prevent a speedy death. The first Filipino martyred saint, Lawrence Ruiz, and his companions were canonized in 1987. There's more about the saints, along with inspiration and Catholic resources, at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
It is 7:19 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado and Johnny Hebert. And like I said earlier, Damian, we're just weeks away from our fall drive time, which is happening on Tuesday, October 5th through Thursday, October 7th. And it starts at 7 a.m. and ends at noon on all 3 days. We'll have guests every hour, and this will help raise money for our studios. And so if you're listening to us now and you're hearing us now, it's because of your donations, and we rely on those listener donations. So please consider tuning in during drive time. I can't believe it. I looked at the calendar, and it's just weeks away.
Yeah, things are moving so fast, and drive time moves pretty fast, too. So when you tune in, you'll have a good time listening as well. Do want to mention, I'm not sure if you guys heard about the Blue Roof program that's going on. I'm sure you did. But we keep hearing from FEMA and additional parishes that there is a need for those blue tarps, even this far along. And so if you're interested, there's 25 parishes that currently qualify to receive blue tarps from FEMA. Now, you got to get on the list to get one to even qualify, but I'm not going to rattle off all 25 parishes in Louisiana, but we pretty much have a good idea what they are. But here's the number. That's the most important thing. 1-888-ROOF, R-O-O-F, BLUE, B-L-U. That's 1-888-ROOF-BLUE. Call that number. That'll get you in touch with FEMA, and that in turn will get you on the list to get you a blue tarp, hopefully pretty quickly at this point in time.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that how important that is to get all of that situated as well. Also, if you need any help, you can take a look at our Facebook page, facebook.com/Catholic Community Radio. We post resources from all dioceses in hard-hit areas, such as the Diocese of Houma-Thibodaux and many parts of the Archdiocese of New Orleans and Diocese of Baton Rouge. We can't forget the North Shore. We can't forget Hammond and Ponchatoula. Take a look at those resources. Also, take a look at Catholic Charities. And if you go to church parish websites in those areas, they are doing a pretty good job with updating, and also on their social media with food distribution sites, what they're doing that day. So take a look at places like that. But we'll be talking about Ida Relief on Wake Up pretty much the rest of the week as well. Yeah. So you'll get up-to-date information. And a lot of those places, Damien, are even offering to get gas for you, food, tarps, even, you know, going to your house and cleaning up, which I know is very important.
The cleanup part is the most important thing at this point, and there's a lot of helping hands out there. So call Catholic Charities, call your local church parish, and they'll direct you as to what you can do and who you can contact to give you some assistance along the way. I love the fact that the twinning is going on between one church parish and another. That has been very helpful and constructive in getting people back on their feet a lot quicker than normal.
Yes, definitely. We are looking to get Judge Bernadette D'Souza, but I want to talk about the 69th annual Red Mass happening at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans. You know, we talk about the Blue Mass, and I'm so excited that this one's coming up on October 4th, 9:30 a.m. to 10:30 a.m. at St. Louis Cathedral. The 69th annual Red Mass is hosted by the St. Thomas Catholic Lawyers Association of New Orleans, and it will be with Archbishop Amen. He'll be there, along with special guest homilist Bishop Barron, founder of Word on Fire. You hear that on Catholic Community Radio. Catholic ministers and auxiliary bishop of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. Everyone is invited to this, particularly those in the legal profession, and all faiths are welcome. So take a look at that. It's actually on our website at ccradio.live. So all of the information is on there, but that is coming up October 4th. So at 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., I know how important this Mass is, and we got to pray for all those in the legal profession as well, because their jobs aren't easy.
No, they're not. So also, I do want to mention something that got postponed, and it's back on tap. So it's for the young high schoolers, and it's called A Return to Love. It's Red Stick Catholic Fest, which is going to be at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville. That's going to be now October 30th. So if you signed up originally, I'm sure you're still in. But if you want to register, it's now open again to re-register for this event. And it's a whole evening, I call it evening, afternoon, evening, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. is when the event takes place. And they're going to have everyone from Father Josh Johnson to Father Matt Dunn as speakers, Aaron Franco, Deacon Michael Parker. There'll be adoration. There's going to be praise and worship, small group time. This thing is chock-a-block full of fun and at the same time focused on the Holy Spirit and God. So $30 is all it takes for you to participate. As I said, it'll be at St. John the Evangelist in Prairieville, and it's called Return to Love, Saturday, October 30th. So if you'd like more information, check with your youth group minister at your church parish or your campus minister. They'll be able to get you connected and be a part of that activity coming up in October.
You know, guys, there's another set of, programs starting off all across the country, really, but it's the RCIA time, right? Mm-hmm. It's time. So if you've been listening for a while and you've been checking things out on your own about this Catholic faith, what a perfect time right now to touch base with your local Catholic parish, talk to the priest there and say, I'd like just to learn a little bit more about this Catholic faith. You know, there's, you can sit in, no commitment made at this point. It's an inquiry period. And start to learn, you know, ask questions. But or if it's been a while and you've been out of the way from the church for a long time, this is the time to return. So open arms to seek this out, the rite of Christian initiation of adults, your local parish. Check it out. Good to have you home.
Wonderful. Yes, definitely. Thank you so much, Johnny, for that. Real quick, Damian, I want to talk about our Advent retreat for women, hosted by Catholic CUNY Radio, My Soul in Stillness Waits. It's happening on Saturday, November 27th. That is the Saturday after Thanksgiving. So it's an Advent retreat, a day of prayer, reflection, music. As we anticipate the birth of our Savior, there will be Mass, opportunities for confession, visits from Bishop Michael Duca, he's Bishop of the Diocese of Baton Rouge, Father Chris Decker, Sister Dulcie Maria, Kitty Cleveland, and the Shepherd Staff Gift Shop. And lunch is catered by Portobello's Grill, which is very good. Afternoon wine and cheese at Portobello's Grill. And you can register at ccradio.live. It's right there on the homepage. And we've been getting reservations, so make sure that your slot is filled. And you know, if you're going to be in town, because it is the Thanksgiving weekend, then maybe take a group of your, your mother-in-law, your sister-in-law, your sisters, the women in your family, and join us for this retreat, this Advent retreat. My Soul in Stillness Waits. I know that our last women's retreat sold out. So definitely, definitely take a look at this one if you're interested. Again, that's Saturday, November 27th. But, you know, like I said, we have a bunch of stuff going on in the fall and with our drive time, Damian, coming up in just a couple of weeks. Some of the needs that we need for drive time, of course, our everyday needs like streaming that, as we know, we have streamed a lot of things when it comes to the pandemic, and a lot of church parishes know the cost and the need of that, as do we. So that is another need. Of course, monitors and computers, they like to update. They like to go, you know, kaput every now and then, and that's when we get another monitor and computer because they only last a few years. So those are some of the things we need. Of course, everyday expenses, things to keep the lights on, and also resources to continue to grow Catholic Community Radio. And now we're expanding into the Diocese of Biloxi and talking to the bishop and talking to the priests over in those areas and bringing materials to your church parishes in our listening area. So, Damian, lots of resources that we'll need for drive time. And those are just a few.
And that's right. That's why we'll have an event every now and then above and beyond our drive time. And the reason being is we like fellowship as well. And Catholic Man Night, we can't overlook that. That's November 3rd. That's and this is an opportunity. This is a number of years has been going on now, and each year it continues to grow. It's at White Oak Gardens and Estates. And it's John Foles puts on a great evening. And this one is going to be just as spectacular. Rod West is going to be our guest speaker. If you don't know who he is, he's the guy who runs Energy. If you've been wanting to ask Energy a few questions, you may want to sign up for Catholic Man Night because you'll have a chance to grab his ear and, more importantly, hear how he manages such a large company from a spiritual perspective as well. And yeah. It's only $125. And again, I go every year. It's a wonderful time. If you want to reserve your spot, just go to ccradio.live. You'll see the little message board there, and you can click on and go ahead and register that way. It's starting to fill up. We even have a special event called the Leaf of the Fraternity Leaf or whatever Father Chris came up with. Forgive me. I just think it's you get to go an hour ahead of time, sample some of John Fulce's beverages that he creates over there at White Oak. And you also get some sampling of food that goes along with it. What is it? The fraternity, y'all keep changing the name of the
Wednesday. And I.
What is it, though? The Fraternity Leaf? What the heck is that?
I believe so. It's Wednesday, November 3rd. I don't think we ever put that date out. So
yeah,
Wednesday, November 3rd.
Yeah, I just said that at the very beginning. November 3rd, Wednesday.
I missed
that. It's an evening. And sign up. Come on out. Have a great time. Cigars?
Yes, definitely.
Good food and good beverages.
Fellowship. There you go. Thanks, Damon. It's 7:30. I'll wake up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. A deceptively named bill in Congress calls itself the Women's Health Protection Act. Others call it the All Abortion All the Time Act, but it passed out of committee Tuesday as Spokane Representative Kathy McMorris Rogers slammed the bill for going way beyond Roe v. Wade. McMorris Rogers says the legislation would override state laws by mandating abortions on demand without any consideration for the conscience of providers. Mexico's recent embrace of abortion by court mandate is being tempered by the experience of Spain. Entire regions are without doctors or even hospitals that are willing to perform abortion. It's one thing if you think abortion is right or wrong, says one conscientious objecting doctor. It's another thing if I have to do it. That's different. This is Life News Radio. A culture of life has a rarely mentioned but very formidable enemy. Pornography is material that deceives its consumers into thinking that they possess beauty, while the reality is they are possessed by a lie. The first step may be to talk openly with your pastor or confessor, reject the lie, and recognize that a culture of life relies upon you. In other stories, with off-year elections weeks away and midterm elections coming in 13 months, pro-life groups are making endorsements in key races like Arkansas and Virginia. In an unprecedented drop, President Biden's approval continues plummeting. It is vitally important for pro-life voters to both be informed and to get involved. And pro-life advocates say the first lawsuits against abortion in Texas are disingenuous stunts by disbarred attorneys. One identifies himself as a pro-choice plaintiff. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. 7:35 on this Wednesday morning, a nice cool Wednesday morning for a change. So glad you could join us here on Wake Up. And with us right now is our guest, regular on our show, Steve Ray, Catholic convert, also speaker, author, and just an all-around good guy who always has something intriguing to talk about. And today's topic, it's the famous question we get from Protestants, are you born again? Steve, welcome to Wake Up, and let us have it. How do we counter that question as we get hit with it time and time again?
As a Baptist, I used to ask Catholics that question because Catholics usually didn't have a clue. They would say, well, I'm Catholic. And I'd say, I didn't ask you if you're a Catholic. I asked you if you were born again. And so this is a question that Catholics get asked, and if you haven't been asked it, you probably will sometime in your life. The correct answer to that, now that I'm a Catholic, is if someone comes up to me and says to me, knowing I'm a Catholic, are you born again? My response is, yes, I'm born again the Bible way.
Wow. Okay, so what's the Bible way?
Well, the Bible way of being born again is explained in John chapter 3. I have a 450-page book I wrote on John's Gospel with Ignatius Press, and I spent a lot of time on that passage. First of all, it's interesting that John didn't write that book until he was an old man, probably around 100 A.D. So how did people know how to get born again? before that book was written. You know, for the 70 years after Jesus, it wasn't even written down. But here's how you get born again in that book. Nicodemus asked Jesus. He says, you must be born again to see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, well, how can I get born again? What, am I going to crawl back in my mother's womb? I'm too big. I'm too old. How do I get back in there to get born again? And Jesus said, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. So right there is the clue. Now, what had Jesus just done? He had just, a day or two before, gone down into the Jordan River, into the water, and the Spirit came down, water and Spirit.
Yeah.
Anybody that doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what Jesus is talking about. And Nicodemus should have known about it because it was in the headlines of the Jerusalem Post. Nicodemus should have known this. What? It was big news that Jesus had gone down into the water and the Spirit, the dove, had come down on him.
Yeah.
So this is what it means. It means water baptism. See, what the deal is here is that there are two humanities now. There's the humanity that came from the first Adam and Eve, and that humanity was distorted. It was marred by sin and brought death into the world. Jesus is the new Adam. He's coming now to start a new humanity. In order to get into Adam and Eve's humanity, you have to be born into it. How do you get into the new humanity? You have to be born into that one, too. You can't just join the club. You have to be born into the family. How do you get born into the family? By water and Spirit, Jesus said, which is water baptism.
And there's other passages in the Bible, now that you make reference to that, that also talk about water and Spirit.
You know, this is the fun thing about it. Is Jesus chides Nicodemus for not knowing this. He says, you are the teacher, not just a teacher. He says, you are the teacher of Israel, and you don't know these things? See, this is, in the very first, how did the whole thing begin? Whenever God starts something new, he does it with water and Spirit. He does it the same way every time. So in the first two verses of the Bible, he's starting the whole creation of the earth. What does he do? In the beginning was that God created the heavens and the earth, and the water covered the surface of the earth, and the Spirit hovered over the waters. Okay, so how did the whole thing begin with the earth? Water and the Spirit of God was hovering. First two verses of the Bible. The whole Spirit's hovering over the water. And from that then comes the land and the birds and the flowers and people. Now God's going to start something else new. Because man has sinned so bad, he has to, with Noah, tells him to build an ark, and he's going to destroy the world because of the sin and start over again. In fact, the Jews call Noah the second Adam because he's starting over again. And so what does God do? He puts them in the ark. They go through the water of the flood, and what's over top of them? The white dove flying over. That's water and Spirit again.
Yeah.
And I didn't make that up because in Peter's, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, it says, corresponding to Noah going through the water, baptism now saves you.
Wow.
Baptism now saves you.
Yeah.
This is in the Bible. I never saw that verse when I was a Baptist. Now, God's going to start something else new. He's going to start the nation of Israel. How does he do it? He takes them out of Egypt through the water. And what's over top of them? The Holy Spirit in a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud, water and Spirit. And I didn't make that up because Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4, just as the children of Israel were baptized into Moses in the water and in the cloud, so you have been baptized into Christ, water and Spirit.
Steve, can we be born again more than once?
No.
Okay.
Nope, just like I couldn't be born from my mother's womb more than once.
Right.
Wow.
I can only be born again spiritually once.
Yeah.
But when we fall, we need to restore that life in us. That's why we have confession for serious sins. So that, you know, a lot of times the Protestants, they'll have these meetings, you know, the revival meetings where somebody comes up from Tennessee and they appear in Michigan, you know, and they go forward and they get born again and again and again and again and again. But there's only one baptism. The Bible says there's one baptism. So when we take folks to Israel and we go down to the Jordan River and we sprinkle them with water, we're not baptizing them again. They're not being born again. They are restoring, so to speak, that life, renewing their vows to this new humanity, but they're not being born again because you can only be baptized once.
Yeah. But you're always growing and you're always renewing yourself, right?
Yes, just like as a human being, my mom gave me birth. My mom's going to be 100 years old in 40 days.
Oh, God bless.
And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she's amazing, so I'm going to go visit her today. And so, but when I was born, I was only born once, right? But mm-hmm. I had to keep growing. I keep developing. I change. I don't look like I do when I was born. If I still look like I did when I was born, there's a big problem. But we develop and we change, but it's all based on that one birth. When we are baptized, we're born, it's the doorway into the church, so to speak. We are now in the new humanity, forgiveness of sin. Jesus is at a new garden. You know, the cross was in a garden. John tells us that. So the first Adam brought sin in a garden. The new Adam brings about new life in a garden, at a new tree, by the way, the tree of the cross. So we're born again, but then we begin to develop and we grow. But you don't go back and get born again. You only do that once.
What books or software materials people can pick up to learn more about their faith? What do you recommend right now?
I have my website, and I'm going to toot my own horn, I guess, but I have my book on St. John's Gospel that I wrote that I go into great detail about all these things in there. But I also have a talk called Born Again, Faith Alone, What Must I Do to Be Saved? I have that talk on my website. There's a lot of good material out there right now. And I know if you go on YouTube and search Steve Ray Born Again, I know there's videos out there people have put up my talks on being born again.
Steve, we got 30 seconds. Tell us what's your latest pilgrimage that you're planning that people may want to attend.
We just got back from Lourdes and Fatima, believe it or not, just on Saturday night. I took a group all through Portugal, Spain, and France. We're back in the air again. We have some coming up towards the end of the year and next year to Israel. We have a St. Augustine, Florida. This is an easy one. No jet lag. It's much less expensive. 4 days only. We're going to go down to the place where Christianity started in the New World. The first town ever established. The first parish mass. 55 years before the Protestant pilgrims came, the Catholics had already established St. Augustine down in Florida. We're going to go there in November. So join us for that. We're also going to the Saints and Shrines of Italy with Teresa Tomio and us leading it. We're going to be doing that next March. We're going to start in Milan, follow all the saints and the shrines all the way down to Rome.
Man, sign up, what's your website real quick?
Catholic Convert. Hard to remember. I'm a CatholicConvert.com.
There you go. Steve Ray, as always, a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you for coming and joining us on Wake Up This Morning.
Love it. Anytime.
All right. God bless. Take care and tell your mom hello for us.
I will.
Okay. There you have it. It is currently 7:45 here on Wake Up. The morning is flying by. Hopefully you're driving safely out there. Sit back, relax if you aren't, and don't worry. The lights are going to change soon enough. In the meantime, come on back to Wake Up. We have more for you right after these messages.
It is 7:48 on Wake Up. Thanks so much for tuning in on this beautiful Wednesday morning. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Damian Collado. And I'm so excited to welcome our next guest, Father Dwight Longenecker. He is a Catholic priest, prolific author, speaker, blogger, and pastor with a worldwide audience of followers, but none more important than his flock at Our Lady of the Rosary Church in Greenville, South Carolina. He is a former Anglican priest who is married with a family, lived overseas, and thus has a unique perspective on world events. And this gift really comes out of his latest book called Beheading Hydra, A Radical Plan for Christians in an Atheistic Age, which is available on Sophia Institute Press. Good morning, Father Dwight.
Good morning.
It's so good to have you with us, and I'm curious, I have to start with the title of the book. What is the connection? We've all heard of Hydra and the isms of today.
Well, the Hydra, for those of us who remember our lessons in classical myth, was a dragon-like beast that dwelt in the swamps of Lerna, which was the entrance to the underworld. And this beast had multiple heads that were like snakes, and mm-hmm. if the hero Hercules cut off one head, two more would grow back in its place. And I used this image of this monster to illustrate and as a metaphor for all of the isms and the ideologies in our modern world, which are all masks of atheism, different forms of atheism, which, like many different serpent's heads, are writhing together, but all rooted in one beast, which is the Antichrist. And if you try to cut one off, two more grow back in its place.
It honestly sounds like a bad gray hair to me. We've all heard of Hydra. You know, that was just a nightmare when I learned about that in school. But in your book, you point out that this is a really a battle about the truth, or perhaps the objective of truth, and whether it really exists. And we know Jesus is the truth, but what is the other side and the side of evil telling the world?
Well, the premise of the book is that American society is actually much more atheistic than we think it is. I compare it to sometimes to atheism in communist Russia and China, which was an aggressive atheism and an explicit atheism, closing down churches, closing down seminaries, banning the publishing of religious books, whereas the atheism in America is much more subtle and woven into our whole philosophical system and our whole cultural system in ways that we don't recognize it. And yet it is atheism just the same, and even more powerful for being hidden below the surface.
Father Dwight, why are we allowing this to happen? What is going on with our society and our civil thought process at this point in time? It seems like over the last 50, I know people say, oh, ever since abortion was approved, but is it even more than that?
Well, it's much more than that. And what we're witnessing now is the manifestation of, and I explain this in the book, the manifestation of really 500 years of a kind of creeping atheism in the philosophies of Europe, which then influenced the development of the United States and the philosophical founding of the United States. And the culture that we live in now, therefore, is a very godless culture, but it's something which is deeply woven into the foundations of our society, something which has been growing really for the last 500 years.
So what should we do? What do we need to be aware of? How do we stand up to this?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is to actually be able to assess and be able to discern these different forms of atheism in our society. If you can't actually spot it and you don't know what it looks like, then you can't fight against it. And so I go through the first half of the book and explain 16 different isms or ideologies, which we all kind of take for granted in American society, which are actually poisoning the faith and undermining the faith.
You know, this is so rampant in our society today that I think it's almost disguised in other trends that are going on, especially when it comes to our younger crowds, our young adults, and especially when it comes to social media. How can we as Catholics maybe talk about this with our families and our kids in a way that kind of shows the true meaning of what's actually going on in society right now and focus on the true faith and true happiness?
Well, like I've just said, first of all, is an awareness of what these isms and ideologies are. Let me give you a few examples.
Yeah.
One of them is, for instance, is materialism. And materialism is not just shopping until you drop and getting as much stuff as you possibly can. That is greed, and that's just a manifestation or an outward sign of materialism. Materialism is the underlying belief that there is no heaven or hell, there is no God, there is no angels and demons. But instead, all that really matters is what you can see, what you can taste, what you can touch, what you can smell. All that really matters is this material world, the physical world. Now, most Americans would not actually say they disbelieve in the invisible realm or in God, but they live that way because they put all of their trust in their bank account, in their insurance policy, in their pension plan, and the material things of this life. And so materialism, therefore, is a manifestation of this this atheism, which is underneath it all.
Yeah. You know, one of the things I think is important here is that you, in your book, you lay out a plan of action. So you give us those guidance and those points to lead us to where we need to be. You know, who is this book kind of written for? Is it written for maybe those family members who are struggling with a loved one who has turned away from the faith or is struggling right now, or maybe they're struggling? Who did you write this for?
No, it's not written for that audience. It's written really for mature, serious, intentional Catholics. Very often, I think, parents who are trying to bring up their family faithfulness to the church and in faithfulness to their Christian faith, and giving them guidelines on how to actually do that and how just doing this basic, radical Christianity counters these 16 isms and atheistic ideologies in the world. Let me give you an example. One of the isms is called scientism, and that is the belief that the only truth you can know is the truth which is established by scientific experiment. Any other form of truth, religious truth, philosophical truth, is invalid. So this manifests itself in our society with the common assumption that science has disproved religion, and that there is no link between the physical world and the invisible world. And living a fully sacramental life as a Catholic actually counters that, because we believe that the sacraments are the physical means through which God's grace comes to us. So therefore, living a fully sacramental life helps to counter the atheistic philosophy of scientism. And so forth. Through the book, I outline the 16 isms and then lay out 16 aspects of our Catholic faith, which actually actively, in a very practical, simple way, help to counter it.
Wow. Father Dwight Longenecker, with his book, Beheading Hydra, A Radical Plan for Christians in an Atheistic Age. Father Dwight, where can we go to purchase a copy of your book?
It's available through Sophia Institute Press, but also online, of course, at Amazon and the major bookstores. They can also visit my blog, DwightLongenecker.com, where I blog regularly and have other content which is available.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for the invitation. You have a great day.
God bless.
You too. Wow.
Yeah, we're living that right now. This pandemic, it's part of it. I mean, I'm not going to elaborate other than the fact that it's science versus where's our spirituality connected with that. Something to meditate on. In the meantime, we're going to wrap up with our prayer to St. Joseph. O St. Joseph, God Almighty granted you the heroic and noble duty of being guardian of the Blessed Virgin Mary, guardian of the Son of God, and guardian of the Holy Catholic Church. May I, by your powerful intercession, be as you are, a true and faithful guardian and protector of those for whom I am responsible for, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Joseph, pray for us and protect us.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll get you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.